Welcome, everybody. Today is April 17th, 2017, and this is Becky Speed. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're in our second module about codependency, and as I was preparing a couple weeks ago for what to start teaching on, the Lord just brought this to my heart and just said that there were so many people that were hurting and that He wanted to set free from codependency. So that's what we're going to be talking about for the next couple weeks, and of course, we're basing everything on the Word of God. So let's go ahead and start, and we'll open up today with prayer, and then we'll move forward into our lesson today. Father God, thank you so much for your love, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. I thank you that you are all-knowing, that you are all-wise, and that you are the owner of time. You are the owner of helping us to be able to just live and breathe and our hearts to beat. So, Father God, I ask that you would give us your heartbeat, that we would see with your eyes today, that we would hear with your ears, and Lord, that your children would be blessed. Lord, I ask that you would speak through my mouth of clay, and Lord, that I would decrease and you would increase, that you would have a special word for each and every one of us that are on the line today or listening to the recording. And Father, I love you and I thank you. I just give you honor as we start our study today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked a little bit last week about codependency, and I want to just continue to go a little bit further. What we talked about last week was that many of us can become dependent on different objects or behaviors or people. And so I wanted to answer the question for us about, you know, what's wrong with depending on people. It tells us in the Word, according to Proverbs 14:12, that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end, it's going to lead to death. And so what we want to do is we want to have the mind of Christ, right? We want to know exactly what He says for us and live according to that. It tells us the answer to this question, that, you know, what's wrong with people depending on people, is that we should have a healthy interdependence on each other, in the sense that we should value each other and love and learn from each other, but we should not be totally dependent on each other. That's a really big thing, because especially I'm a woman, and we're taught that God's hierarchy or what He's put in place for us in relationships is it's God, and then it's the husband, and then the wife's under the husband, and the children are under the mother. And so we get a little confused sometimes, and these relationships can get askew because the enemy loves to come in and twist, and he loves to take truth, twist it, especially within the family dynamic. But this can happen in any type of relationship. Essentially, this kind of relationship involves a healthy mutual give and take instead of being totally dependent on each other, where neither person looks to each other to meet each and every need that's there. However, many people have misplaced dependency on others, and these kinds of relationships are not healthy because God intends for us to live in total dependence in Him. Many times when we're disappointed in a relationship where there's stress or strife, it's because we have an expectation upon another person in the relationship, and we don't keep our expectations completely on Christ, trusting, knowing that God will meet our every need. Over and over, the Bible portrays how godly people learn to have a strong dependence on the Lord rather than a weak dependence on each other. Isn't that the case? Even when Jesus was going across the Sea of Galilee, they wanted to depend on another person instead of actually realizing that God was in control. God knew, and Jesus knew what was going on and could silence the storm for them. So the Apostle Paul said that we should not rely on ourselves, but rely on God in 2 Corinthians 1:9. So exactly what is codependency? You know, though the word codependency might be fairly new, the concepts really age old, and we can certainly see this in Samson's life. Remember, we talked about how all of a sudden Samson decided that he was going to break his vow that he had with God, and he was going to share his secret with Delilah. And this whole story is, you know, in Judges 14, and it started off with his wife pouting and saying, "Oh, well, you hate me, you don't really love me, and you haven't told me your answer," and she kept after him and after him. And as a result, violence and bloodshed, it just ran rampant. Only because strong Samson didn't act with the strength of his own convictions. What God had told him, he had told him to depend on him alone and to keep this a secret. He had to suffer consequences as a result. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Today, a codependent is anyone who is dependent on another person to the point of being controlled or manipulated by that person. Sometimes this is done through force or strength, and sometimes it's very sneaky, right? Or maybe it might not even necessarily be intentional by the other person. The word codependent was first used in the 1970s to kind of describe a family member living with an alcoholic, and the prefix co depends, or means with or associated with the action of another. So it just means that you are with or dependent on another person. Codependency became the word that describes the dysfunctional behavior of family members seeking to adapt to the destructive behavior of alcoholics. Now today what we see is it's rampant in our society because it's not just with the alcoholic. However, codependency is really a relationship addiction. I want us to really get that in our hearts, and I think that's why it's just so widespread right now, is because what the enemy's done is he's created an addiction inside of relationships. The codependent is dependent on being needed by the alcoholic or on being needed by someone who's dependent. The enabler is a codependent person who enables the alcoholic or the other dependent person. In order to continue with the addiction without drawing and maintaining boundaries, codependency involves being too dependent on someone or something that cannot meet your needs. We know that only God can meet all of our needs, right? Codependency can be compared to the sin of depending on false gods and that are powerless to help or depending on broken water well that won't hold water. It simply is not going to work. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two sins. First, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. It's the exact same analogy here. So there's another question. How can I know whether I'm an enabler, right? Because we wouldn't want to be in that situation, would we? The answer to this is you're an enabler if you perpetuate another's destructive behavior by protecting that person from painful consequences that could actually serve as a motivation for change. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to try to do the opposite, right, and start creating a different relationship here where we're trying to control another person, or we're trying to make sure that they get what's coming to them. No. Let me break it down to maybe into a place where you can understand. The enabling parent allows the teenager's drug habit to continue with no repercussions, even to the detriment of the other family members. An enabling wife calls her husband's boss to say that he has the flu and he might actually have a hangover. So I want you to ask yourself, how many lies have you told to protect the reputation of someone with a destructive habit? The Bible has really strong words to say about those who protect the guilty. Not those who protect the innocent, but those who protect the guilty. Whoever says to the guilty, you're innocent, peoples will curse him and nations will denounce him. That's pretty sobering, right? So let's talk about what are some of the real common codependent relationships. In a codependent relationship, one person is seen as weak and the other one is seen as strong. The weak one appears totally dependent on the strong one, but the one who appears strong is actually the weak one because of the excessive need to be needed by the weak one. In fact, the strong one needs for the weak one to stay weak, which in turn keeps the strong one feeling strong. The ultimate solution is God's solution for this. For both of these weak persons, it's not to try to draw strength from each other, but rather to derive their strength from God. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:29 that he gives strength to the weary, and he'll increase the power of the weak. So a common codependent relationship might be a wife that's excessively helpless around her husband, and the husband needs his wife to stay helpless. Or a husband is excessively needy to and how he relates to his wife, and the wife needs him to stay needy. A student is excessively tied to a teacher, and the teacher needs the student to stay tied. Or a child is excessively pampered by the parent, and the parent needs the child to stay in need of pampering. Personally, what I see in today's society is this is happening everywhere with children. We need to really wake up, because if we don't, we're going to have everyone inside of the relationships that we have in the Western world codependent. A parent is excessively maybe protected by the child, and the child needs a parent to stay in need of protection. Or an employee is excessively entangled with an employer, and the employer needs the employee to stay entangled. This can happen with your friendships as well. It's when a friend is excessively fixated on another friend, and that person needs the friend to stay fixated. A counselee is excessively clinging to the counselor, and the counselor needs the counselee to stay clingy. What about in the discipleship situation? A disciple is excessively dependent on the discipler, and the discipler needs the disciple to stay dependent. Isn't it true that instead, as Christians, we need to empower other people? We need to give them support and then help them, you know, grow their wings as they start to fly. An eagle is an excellent example of this. The eagle's nest is actually created, and it's created, and it's thorny, and it's just really harsh. And what happens is the mama eagle, what she does is she starts plucking her feathers to make it be soft and to be cozy inside of the nest. And then she lays her eggs, and it's all soft and comfortable and warm, and those eggs are protected in this big, strong nest. But as the little eagles or the eaglets start to grow, she starts plucking and pulling out piece by piece of the soft down that's inside of the nest. As she plucks and she pulls this out, she's gone longer from her babies, because she wants them to desire to jump out of the nest and to get their wings moving and to get the strength so that they can soar as well. What would happen if the eaglet just decided, you know what, it's too comfortable here, I'm going to keep staying here? Or it decided that, you know what, it didn't really think that it could do anything without its mother. After all, its mother's been even, you know, bringing his food and pre-digesting it for him. How could we, then, as the one that's discipling, desire to keep others underneath us, controlling and manipulating and letting them know that we had all the secret answers? What about a victim? A victim is excessively vulnerable to a victimizer, and the victimizer needs the victim in order to stay vulnerable. Let's go back to the church. What about a layperson being excessively leaning on a spiritual leader, and the leader needs a layperson to continue leading? Now, think about this. Are you truly a spiritual leader if you expect others to constantly lean on you? I thought it was amazing as I was growing up as a youngster how that many people in the Catholic Church had never read the scriptures, that they would depend on the priest to be able to read the scripture, interpret it, or to understand it for them. I couldn't understand this, because as a young child, even as when I first started reading, I would always pick up my Bible books and my Bible, and I would start reading. I can remember sitting in the back seat of the car on the way to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, reading my Bible, and I would read in Psalms because the words were easier for me, and I could get the understanding of the passages, and how excited I would be or comforted I would be if I read it myself. When we have a misplaced dependency, we have a misplaced trust. And I think that's truly where the sin comes in. We may be lifting this person up unknowingly to us as a God, expecting them to supply all of our needs. And that's where the mistrust comes in. We're only to trust the Lord with all that we have. We're excessively trusting in the relationship with another person to provide more than God intended them to. The psalm describes a misplaced trust, and it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. Psalm 20, verse 7. I've also had other people ask, you know, when I was struggling and was a struggling addict, my wife held our home together. Now that I have truly changed, why is it that she is continually upset and she's threatening divorce? Now, when you start breaking these cycles of codependency, it can get kind of ugly and it gets strange because people don't know how we're supposed to behave and interact. So the thing that happens many times is there is that upset, and it's because you've changed the dynamic. After an alcoholic becomes healthy and whole, the strong codependent mate is no longer needed in the same way. The new dynamic changes the balance in the relationship, and the strong one who no longer feels needed in the same way could choose to divorce or remarry another needy person in order to feel needed again. This, too, is an addiction. Obviously, we know that divorce is not the solution. For both of them to become emotionally balanced and spiritually healthy, God is the only solution. Just like every alcoholic needs to overcome alcoholism, every codependent needs to overcome codependency. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:2, not to conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Listen to this. The only way to be transformed is by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will. In the parent-child relationship, what's the difference between bonding and enmeshment? Healthy bonding occurs when parents are connected to their children by being God's instruments to meet their basic physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. With healthy bonding, nurturing flows naturally from parent to child, leaving the child emotionally fulfilled and whole. This is desirable, right? But an unhealthy enmeshment occurs when parents need an excessive connection with their children in order to get their own emotional needs met. With enmeshment, nurturing flows unnaturally from the child to the parent. It's kind of like that role reversal, right? What happens is it leaves the child emotionally drained and empty. 2 Corinthians 12:14 says, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So what is biblical dependency? God wants you to depend on him to totally, which is all-encompassing, right? To rely on him, not on other people or other things or self-effort. Psalm 62, verse 7 says, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He's my mighty rock and my refuge. God wants you to depend on him and to believe that he's going to meet all of your needs. You can safely reveal your heart, your hurt, your fears, your needs to God, and he will become your need meter. Isaiah 58, 11 says that the Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy all your needs, even in a sun-scorched land, and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. He wants to be that energy inside of your heart to continue to rise up and raise up in you. God wants you to depend on him and to trust in him to take care of your loved ones. He says in Psalm 62, 8, that we need to trust in him at all times. Oh, people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. God wants you to depend on him and to rely on Christ, whose life in you will enable you to overcome this destructive dependency or anything, right? We just went through Resurrection Sunday yesterday. God wants to resurrect inside of you because Jesus already did all of the work, a new relationship with him. He wants to set you free. He's already paid the price. God wants you to depend on him and to rely on Christ, whose life in you will enable you to overcome anything that is destructive. 1 John 4:4 says, the one, Christ, who is in you is greater than the one, Satan, who's in the world. We've already overcome. We don't need to live this way any longer. So what's the difference between a codependent marriage and a healthy marriage? Well, an unhealthy codependent marriage, the weak spouse has a deep-seated need for security and continually looks to the strong spouse to meet all of their needs. This means that the weak one desires truly to stay weak. And the supposedly strong spouse has a deep-seated need for significance and tries to meet all the needs of the weaker partner in order to make that mate depend on the relationship. This is unhealthy. But a healthy interdependent marriage looks like this. Each is going to emphasize the other's strengths and encourage the other partner to overcome their personal weaknesses. Each encourages the other to be dependent on the Lord while being responsive to the legitimate needs of the other. You might see this lived out in even their Christian walk. Both say that they're Christians and desire to be living for the Lord. But what happens is, let's just say the husband says, "Oh, well, honey, I don't feel comfortable praying. And why don't you read the scripture? Or I know that if you pray, you've got the direct line to God." These are all unhealthy relationships being interdependent, because we're to each have our own individual walk with the Lord, but to be interdependent on each other, emphasizing each other's strength and encouraging others. Philippians 2:4 says that each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others. So I'm going to close our study today and know that we're going to continue on this for just a little bit longer so that we can get a greater understanding. But be encouraged that God has set you free. Jesus did all the work on the cross, and he will strengthen you and give you the strength that you need inside of this relationship. He also promises to that you have been given the authority to take the authority over the demonic influences that might be taking place, causing this codependent relationship inside of your relationship. Next week, we're going to continue a little bit further on the characteristics of codependency to figure out who are really codependent people and what's a codependent relationship, and also taking the codependency checklist test, okay? So next week, we're going to see, like, are we really truly codependent, or is this a lie from the enemy as well? God wants you to be free. Don't seek the approval of man. It tells us in Galatians 1:10 that am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? For if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. We know that you all want to be servants of Christ, and God wants you to be free today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for you, for your love, how you love us, and how you've given us the ability to love. And we thank you that you allow us to be directly in a relationship with you, that we can take every heartbeat that we have of hurt or care or worry or concern and surrender it to you, because you tell us that that's not ours to bear. Help us to have healthy relationships, that we aren't overly dependent on someone else, that we do not allow others to manipulate us or to influence us to this point. Lord, I thank you that you've told us in your word what we are to depend on, and it's you. We're to trust you. We're to obey you. We're supposed to be strong in you and your power. So, Father God, whether it's been through alcoholism or it's been through some hurt or in the church or some relationship that's been out of skew within our homes or within our education system or at work or with our friends or whatever, Lord, we ask forgiveness now of that. And, Lord, I ask that you help us to see where we've misplaced our dependency and we've misplaced our trust, so that we can keep our trust completely on you. And, Lord, that you will know that we will have what we ask in our hearts, Lord, we know that you tell us that if we do this, if we believe, we can have whatever we ask. So, Father, I ask for freedom now. Set your people free. Help them to have that new sense of effervescence flowing from inside of them that bubbles up from the Holy Spirit, that they are alive and renewed in you. That there is no unhealthy enmeshment inside of our relationships, Lord, but there's love and there's tenderness, there's compassion, there's grace, there's mercy. Help us not to have expectations anywhere but in you. Lord, we thank you that you tell us that you are raising us up for such a time as this, So we thank you for your love and your freedom. Lord, I pray that as Connie's putting in a part of this this career fair, Lord, for project managers, Lord, I pray that you would give her wisdom and that this would be such a refreshing event that's filled with opportunity and good matches are made. Lord, I pray that every need is met there. Lord, I also pray for Marilyn today that she has the favor, as your favor, as she works on her income tax, Lord, and the patience as she prepares it. Lord, I thank you because I know that there are others that are having needs. They've got concerns, but they've got a heaviness in their heart. So, Father, I pray that in Jesus' name that you would just release them. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the way that you love us. I thank you that you're healing lives, that you're healing relationships now, that you're bringing proper reconciliation and restoration. Lord, anything that the enemy has taken, we call it back. We call it forth to come forth with a blessing of 100-fold. Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us again today. And know that we get on at 25 after 8 Central Time to take prayer requests and praise reports. And I'll pray for you throughout the week. If you have something that comes up, sometimes it does, feel free to private message me on Facebook or send me a message through the Christian Direct Seller, my Facebook page there. And know that I love you guys. And be encouraged because next week I'm going to actually be at a prayer retreat. And so I'll be praying for you. But I've got a special guest that will be coming in while I'm at Billy Graham's. I'm actually going to be at Billy Graham's and we're going to be doing a prayer retreat in North Carolina. And I've got a very special friend of mine who's a John Maxwell team member, but a great friend and an incredible man of God. He's had he has a heart for service. He served in our military in the Navy, and I just can't say enough great things about Mark Missigman. And he's going to be with us next week, and he's going to continue to just bless you. We're going to take a break. He's not going to continue the codependent series at that point, but he's got an incredible word for you about God's love. So you're going to be so encouraged. Make sure you invite your friends to come to the call next week. And if you've got any questions or any way that I can pray for you, please know that I'm here, that this is something I take very seriously and that I'm so thankful to be a part of. I love you guys. I'm going to turn off the recording in case there's any additional prayer requests that you'd like to share. Take care, and I'll be with you in 2 weeks, but make sure that you're on the call next week for Mark, okay?